Welcome back. You already know what it is. You were listening to The Urban Product. It's your boy DME.
It's your boy Cozy Rich and this bitch.
Facts, and we are back for season 8 of The Urban Product. It's been a minute since we talked to y'all. We've been out the game maybe since May. Kendrick just dropped, and we decided to end the season there. We went on a little break, did a couple things on the break, but now we back. Back full time, better than ever. I guess we got to address the elephant in the room.
The non-elephant.
I guess. Imani has decided to not return this season. She has some other endeavors that she's going to pursue, and we wish her nothing but the best on her journey. But with that being said, if you still want to keep up with Imani, her socials have not changed. So if you want to show her some love, just direct it all that way. We still got love for her over here. But just know, going forward, we're going back to the OG tag team of DME and Rich. And that means a lot of things. If you are like an OG listener of the show,
you
know what gang used to talk about way back in the day. I feel like on my behalf, I like PG'd myself when we came back to the studio. And, you know, now that we had other people present, I kind of, you know, took a different route. But my dog Rich reminded me. I was like, yo, we got to get you back in your element. And I was like, damn, I thought I went crazy last season. And he was like, nah, we got to get you back to how you used to talk. And I was like, all right, dog. It's been a minute since I talked to the people, so I guess I will do that. So we're back, season 8. Let me touch up with my dog, Rich. How you been?
Nah, first of all, fuck all that.
See,
go back to his camera.
Go back
camera
to
one,
me.
Camera one.
It's all right. Look at me.
Look at his wrists. Look at his eyes.
This nigga is on a different type of time, and he came first episode to show that shit.
Back.
I like what I see.
How are you doing, my dog?
I like what I see.
I'm doing very well, bro. I cannot complain. You know, we took about 2 months off. I'm feeling rested. I'm feeling energized. I feel good. Life is good. My health is good. Body is good. Like, yo, I can't complain about a single thing except for bills, but that's never going to end until the day I die. So it is what it is. But, you know, life is good. Got some vacations coming up. But other than that, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. How about you, Brody?
You're 2 months off? What'd you do with your 2 months off?
Focused on getting my money up. Focused on, well, I'm 5 pounds away from my goal. I've been stuck at 195. I'm trying to get to 200. I'm stuck at 195, but I'm going to get to 200 before the September. And I've actually been looking into starting this vending business as well, just putting everything in place to start that. So, I mean, other than that, I mean, I've just been focusing on myself, work per usual. And, yeah, can't complain. It's like I said, it's summer. Been going to a lot of bars, been enjoying the nice non-COVID infected areas. Mm-hmm. So, shit, things have been good. How about you, bro? I know you've been doing a lot of things.
Yeah, honestly, I took the time off for a much-needed vacation. I'm still working a lot, but I was working along with doing the podcast, and honestly, I felt like I was taking a lot on. And didn't really give myself that time to just ease back. And this break definitely allowed me the opportunity to do that. Not having to put my mind on this and being given the freedom to just literally chill. Not worry about anything but work and all of, like you said, like bills. That was the only thing I had to focus on. So I enjoyed all my time. I just came back from Miami. We just hit Rolling Loud. I went there by myself. I had a great time. The vibes were amazing. The view was amazing. The food was amazing. I really had a dope time. So this break was very well needed. I know everybody out there was asking for our return. I wasn't pushing back on our return anytime soon. I was like, dog, we've been going crazy for y'all for 4 years. You know, y'all could wait a little bit while we get some much needed fucking R&R, but we're back and I'm happy to be back. Touching on Rolling Loud, I guess we can go into the show and just talk about what's been going on. So
yeah, I need to know all about Rolling Loud, because yeah, you went down to Miami, Florida in the middle of the summer to go to a fucking giant concert.
Yes sir.
Multi-day concert.
Yes sir.
I know mad crazy shit happened, so I need to hear some of the you know, the fun that happened.
Some of the fun.
You can't let everyone know everything. Exactly. So yeah, let me hear.
So I had a great time. It was a 3-day festival, ran from Friday to Sunday. Headliners were supposed to be Kanye on Friday, then it was supposed to be Future on Saturday, and Kendrick on Sunday. I saw a lot of artists in between. It was dope. I ended up seeing live Don Toliver, 2 Chainz, Dirk, Playboi Carti, Lil Uzi, 3-6 Mafia, Tyler Yawa. I got to see Mozzie live, Lil Baby, Kodak Black.
Yeah, that's a crazy lineup.
I know, I can keep going. It's crazy because I can keep going. Oh, Baby Keem. I saw mad people, honestly, in that very short weekend. I might be forgetting some key players. It's all on my snap, but I had an amazing time. So there was some drama that went down. It started on Friday.
Kid Cudi?
Yes. Mm. So maybe a week before the festival was supposed to go down, Kanye West pulled out of Rolling Loud.
I called that, by the way.
He did call that.
Go back to the end of season 7. Called it.
He did call that. And I was very upset when it happened, but Kanye did shit like that before. So I wasn't completely surprised. He did it for Coachella. But Coachella replaced Kanye with The Weeknd. And I'm like, for an artist like Kanye, you know, Weeknd's not at the same level as Kanye, but I'll take The Weeknd being who he is. You feel me?
Before you continue this conversation, there's only like 2 other people that are at his level.
I'm hip.
So you were never going to be satisfied. All right, just continue.
It is what it is. I was never going to be satisfied. You feel me? It is what it is. But they announced that Kid Cudi was going to be replacing him. And I was like, dog, like, people spent money for this trip. People traveled for this trip, booked hotels, got rentals figured out, all this shit to see their favorite artists. And then a week before the event goes down, you fucking take out Kobe and you give me Ron Artest. And it's like, it was just a crazy substitution, and I didn't know how to handle it. But I already spent the bread. I already got my tickets. I already got the hotel figured out. Everything's figured out. So I'm still going to go. So I went down there. It turned out that Kid Cudi and Lil Durk were going to be on at the same time. There were 5 stages. I forgot to mention that. Mm-hmm. So you really had to decide which artist you were going to go see. So I ended up choosing to see Durk over Cudi because I never wanted to see Cudi to begin with. No shade to Cudi. I just wasn't there for Cudi. I'm just being honest. It wasn't like I was the one that threw the water bottle at him. You feel me? I was at Durk when that shit went down. Mm. So I chose to go see Lil Durk instead of going to see Cudi. And thank God I made that decision. So apparently Cudi went on. He had his set. And then he ended his set short because fans were starting to throw shit on the stage. This one dude chucked a bottle, got him directly in the face. And I was like, yo, Cudi handled that amazingly. Like, it was such a professional way that Cudi handled that. If I got chucked in the face with a bottle in front of maybe hundreds, thousands of people, I might have reacted differently. But he went on saying, yo, don't fuck with me. If you throw something up here again, you're going to ruin it for everybody. I'm going to leave. And he repeated that maybe a good 6-7 times, that he would leave if somebody threw something up there again. Of course, what a nigga's going to do?
Test your gangster.
They threw 2 things up there.
They tested his gangster.
And then he walked off. Meanwhile, I was at Lil Durk, vibing along with Lil Durk. And, you know, I stayed in the back because mosh pits are rolling loud. Just crowds rolling loud in general, been going crazy. But I stayed at the back for Durk because, I don't know, Miami, I didn't want to get stabbed or anything like that. So I chilled in the back. And then in the middle of Durk's set, he's performing his new song with Cardi B called Hot Shit. I don't really care for the song, but it's whatever. But by the time his verse was over, he said, ladies and gentlemen, Kanye West. And I said, I was all the way back there. It took me a second. I heard his verse on that song start to play. And I heard rapping, but I still wasn't piecing shit together. It wasn't until I saw Kanye's face on the big screen and I heard him rapping. Dog, I lost my shit. You can hear it in the video I recorded. I won't lie. I sounded like a shorty in the video. I was like, oh, shit.
My mans was fanboying hard, fangirling hard.
I didn't expect it.
I saw all that unfold online and on social media. And to me, for one, I feel the fans, because I did not come here to listen to Cudi. You know what I mean? He is not the person that should be ending the night for Rolling Loud. Like, at that on that stage, Kid Cudi should not be the last act.
Yeah.
So I completely understand, but throwing shit, it is what it is.
Nah, but that's fucked up. You shouldn't be doing that. An artist comes to perform, you shouldn't be throwing shit at
him. I get it, but I understand. I understand nonetheless. But with that being said, it's just crazy to me that Kanye still ended up at Rolling Loud and still performed when he probably was supposed to perform, just with someone else and not on his own. And to me, that's fucking crazy to me, because I don't understand it. Like, why? Do you have an idea as to why he would do some shit like that?
It's a very Kanye thing to do, but honestly, I don't know, because there's a lot of drama behind it. They booked Cudi, Rolling Loud. They booked Cudi. He performed. And then at the same time he was performing, because like I said, Dirk and Cudi were going at the same time. So while Cudi was getting shit thrown at him, at the other stage you had Kanye coming out. And it was like everybody was supposed to be at that stage to watch Kanye. But I'm just like, I can imagine how many people you might have pulled from Cudi's stage once they heard that Kanye was at the other stage. And I was like, I thought that was fucked up, because personally I was like, yo, Rolling Loud, you low-key set Cudi up for that. Because who knows? Maybe you didn't know that Kanye was going to make that last minute appearance. But after it happened, you heavily promoted it on all your socials. Like, oh, shit, Kanye, blah, 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 blah. That, and it just didn't make Cudi look good. And I honestly didn't fuck with Rolling Loud. And honestly, no. Rolling Loud as an organization is falling off to me for several reasons. But that is one of them.
I don't blame Rolling Loud. That's 100% Kanye's fault. It was his fault to pull out. It was his fault. It was his choice to go on with Dirk to appear. So that's 100 Kanye.
That's some petty ass shit, dog.
Kanye is a sociopath. That man is a narcissist. I would not be surprised if he did that shit specifically to get back at Cudi, because I know they've been beefing recently. So that's honestly what I thought was going on. Kanye was like, all right, let me find a way to fuck up Cudi and what he's doing right now. He did a very good job if that was his goal. But
my man only did two songs. He did one song and a verse off another song.
And the shit made headlines. It's fucking crazy.
I was going crazy. But and what was even crazier is when Kanye came out, he performed a song he did with Cudi. He did Father Stretch My Hands. Yeah. So I'm like, dog, Cudi is all the way over there getting booed off. And then you're at Dirk's shit and all you hear is Beautiful Morning. Yo, I was like, hey, yo.
It's just bro, wild. He's a dickhead, bro.
Like, that's just crazy. That's, I felt bad.
No, that's the king. I thought 50 Cent was petty. That's some petty shit right there. So stay up to Cudi. I hope he finds a way to get back at Kanye, because I really think that was intentional as fuck. But I got to ask you, during your 3 days there, who, like, besides the Kanye part, who was the best performance? Or who gave the best performance in your opinion?
I feel like I'm biased.
All right, so let me hear it.
Yeah, I feel like I have to say Kendrick. That's very biased. It's very biased of me, but
didn't he bring Kodak out?
Yeah, he brought Kodak and Baby out, but they were also on the bill list too. Yeah. So they were on the bill list the same day, so I already knew Kendrick was going to bring them out later on in the night. But Kendrick, honestly, I haven't seen him perform since 2017. So being able to see him again and hear new songs from the new album, it gave a preview to his concert I'm going to later in August. So that's going to be very dope. It was just a slight little preview. But the fact that I was so close when that shit happened, like when it was time for Kendrick to go on, because on the first day I decided to chill back. I was like, yo, I remember what happened to me when I was at Rolling Loud in New York and Travis went on.
Relax.
I remember what happened. Let me chill. And also, I was by myself. So I was like, if anything does go down, no one's there to watch my back. So I'm like, all right, let me chill in the back. Did that the first day. And then the second day, I realized how much money I spent on these tickets. And I was like, dog, I'm here for an experience. I want to have an amazing time. Fuck it. We partying. So for the second and third day, when it was coming close to the headlining acts, I was in the front.
How the fuck did you make it to the front?
Oh, it was easy. It's really? Easy. Yeah, really? The you just push with everybody else. I don't like fight with people, but when there's like mosh pits or No, I won't do it. What I do is, it's good being somebody of my size, because how I do it, people can't move me. I have, like, my arms up like this when I'm tight. That way I got my personal space. People are like this over there, and mm-hmm. I'm like, nah. I always keep my elbows up at my chest, so I got, like, that little room around me.
Get up.
Yeah. So it was very easy. I just moved with whenever there was a wave going on, I just pushed with the wave, pushed my way through the front. Whenever there was a mosh pit and people were pushing each other around, I just pushed my way to the front. And it was very easy.
Methodical with it.
Yeah. So I'm very methodical with it. So the second day, I got to see Future Dumb Close, and he surprised me by bringing out Travis Scott. And
what song did they have together?
Hold That Heat. New song. Oh. So he brought out Travis Scott, and fucking Travis Scott hadn't been on a festival stage
since the event, Astroworld.
So that was crazy to see that happen. That was his first festival appearance since then. And, you know, I didn't know how to feel about it, but clearly, I guess people are either over it or maybe he atoned for the entire event. Who knows? But I was happy to see him. He looked like he was ready to go back on tour, which means I'm ready for that album whenever you're ready. I don't know if your publicist or the streets are ready, but I'm ready whenever you decide to drop that album. So that was dope. And then Future was dope as well. But yeah, that third day when I was literally, what? I could have dapped up Kendrick if I could have.
You know?
Oh, he was that close. It was dope. It was so dope, bro. Such an amazing experience. And I was so happy I went there by myself. I know there was a lot of things that I did do on that weekend that I wouldn't have done if I was with other people. So I was happy that I went by myself so I can, you know, do everything that I really wanted to do.
Moral of the story, make sure y'all go on vacation by yourself so you can actually enjoy yourself.
Yeah, plan it out. Have fun, you feel me? Be smart about that shit when you're traveling. Especially when it comes to, like, I know with women it can be different because there's, like, mad dangers in the shit of traveling alone. But just plan everything out. Be smart with how you move. And I feel like you can still have a great time, you feel me? Yeah, that's pretty much what I've been up to since the break.
Nothing crazy happened outside of Rolling Loud?
I had a great time.
All right, I love that. My man was in Miami.
I had a great time.
He better have had a great
time. And the people there are really cool. Like, really cool.
All right, I got a quick question. I've never been to Miami because I personally think it's overrated as fuck.
Okay.
Like, I'd rather go to Vegas or something like that.
Heard.
The women.
Yeah.
Are they really all that?
Are women anywhere really all that?
That's a good point.
That's
a good point.
I feel like beautiful women can be found anywhere. And non-beautiful women can be found anywhere. So it's just whatever your cup of tea is. There were women around, for sure. Were they available? I don't know. But they were around. So I feel like that's the best way I can put it. At Rolling Loud, anybody that I looked to had a man attached to them. So, you know, it was sad. But outside of Rolling Loud... outside of that, you know, I had a great time out there. So shout out to all the people out there.
I say that. That's facts, wonderful. Facts.
But let's go ahead. I know we've been out the game for a little bit, but music did not stop dropping. So I'm not going to go over everything that dropped since we've been gone, but we can point out the highlights. And my dog wanted to, you know, talk about this
low light.
I guess it's a low light for him. Let's just break it. All right. Drake dropped an album. Surprise album.
Yeah, surprise album. I love that Drake dropped this album when he dropped it because I'm pretty sure Joey Badass was the only person that was supposed to drop during that day. And he decided not to for good reason. But yeah, this Drake album, honestly, number mine, what was it, like 17 tracks? It's EDM,
like house dance.
Music.
Yeah,
house
it's categorized music. As dance on album.
Dance music. I truly believe I've only listened to this album 3 times, all the way through, and it is the worst Drake album out of all of them, and that's after Take Care, or not Take Care. What's it called? CLB, which was very subpar, and that was after Scorpion, which was okay. So I'm just like, yo, I think Drake is on the decline. I think he doesn't give a fuck about what he's putting out anymore. He's at a level where anything he does put out is going to attract views. It's going to be number one just because of his popularity worldwide. And it's pissing me off because The only song I ever go back onto this album to listen to is the last one with 21 Savage called fucking Jimmy Cooks. Jimmy Cooks, bro.
It's the only hip hop song on the album.
That's not it for me. I can listen. I've listened to Drake in his pop bag, in his R&B bag, in his dancehall bag. He's done a lot of different bags. This house music bag was trash house music. The beats were poor quality. Could have been a lot better. Could have at least had some more features on there for Sion. I don't know. And I wish he promoted this album rather than just dropping it. I wish he promoted it as a house music album. So then I can know what to expect going into it. Mm-hmm. I remember when this shit came out that night, the day after, people were like, this shit's going to grow on you. Give it a month. Give it 3 weeks. It's just going to grow on you.
And it just hasn't.
Nothing is hitting.
Damn.
Nothing is hitting.
Not even Texco Green?
Nah.
That's my shit. That is my shit, nah. Yo.
And I don't even like Jimmy Cooks is aight too. Mm-hmm. It's aight. It's just the best song on there. I'm just like, yo, I think this is the beginning of the decline for Drake, or we're in the middle of the decline, because everything he's just been dropping has gone progressively worse and just lacks quality, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what to expect from this man going forward. I think he's too rich at this point, and it's fucking with him in his process. It's fucking with his results. And I don't like it, but I want to get your opinion as well.
Did you ever listen to the album Around Women?
I've actually heard it playing in bars, lounges. I've been in a couple lounges and bars, and I haven't heard it played at a club. But while I've been at lounges and bars, like, I've been around women, and it's just a normal reaction. It's not like anyone's going crazy over it. It's just background music for me, mm-hmm. or for them. The women I did speak to that I am friends with and that I know and... You know what I mean? That have listened to this album,
mm-hmm.
said the same shit I've said. This okay. shit is not hitting.
Okay.
It's not hitting. If they want to dance, they ain't listening to this.
I feel it.
That's what I'm saying.
I feel it.
No, unless they ain't listening to this. But if it's on, obviously people are just going to go with what's on. So. Mm-hmm.
So when this album came out, right? A surprise album like everybody else. I saw it categorized as dance and I was like, oh... damn. Okay. So I went ahead and I listened to it. First track. Well, after that intro, first track, Falling Back, I thought that shit was horrendous. Horrendous. Especially like when he tried doing that weekend falsetto throughout the track, I was like, dog,
stop.
Just call him. He could have done that for you. You did not need to do that. But after a couple of times playing it back, still not his best piece of work, but I definitely was like, Falling Back to me. I was like, yo, that shit is kind of catchy, so I get it. And then with track 3, Text Go Green, that was all I needed to sell me on the album. I heard that shit and I was like, nah, this is heat.
I'll say Sticky.
Sticky?
I'll say Sticky.
That had to grow on me.
Yeah, that's the only other track besides Jimmy Cooks.
When I heard Sticky for the first time, I thought it was too aggressively horny. Like,
sticky it gets.
No, it was the the fucking 808s on that shit. I was like, yo, this is too aggressive. Like, I feel like I'm about to put a hole through this chair, bro, listening to this shit. But eventually that song did grow on me too, and a couple of joints throughout the album started to grow on me. How I took it in as, like, when More Life came out, I was a major fan of Passion Fruit. I love that song. That song he did with Georgia Smith, Get It Together, I was also a fan of that song. So songs off this album kind of just took me back to that type of vibe. And when I heard it, I was just like, I don't think I'm in the right setting for this music. So I played it around in appropriate settings, outdoors, summer vibes, beautiful women, drink in hand. And I understood. I was like, okay. It makes sense now. Now I get it. In terms of house music, this isn't top tier house music. That's very understandable. I don't expect Drake to make top tier house music, especially with 40 being the executive producer.
That's my thing, though. As a musician, if you're going to bite off another genre that you don't usually touch, you should be trying to make it as good a quality as it is. As possible.
He did have Black Coffee as an executive producer as well.
Okay.
And that's like a major house producer coming out of South Africa.
I get it. But for what you just said, like, 40 was really all over this shit. I don't think he should have been as involved as he was. I think you should have had more collaborations with the head honchos in the house music scene rather than having 40 having his imprint on this. But that as well as I don't think the songs, he put that much time into the songs either. Like, for me, I feel like this was just thrown together very quickly with the way it sounded to me. But that's just me. I don't know if you feel the same way. So,
In terms of it being thrown together, I understand what you mean because he did make some like recent remarks on the album, like mentioning the fact that Thugger was arrested and the whole YSL. So like that lets you know that it is a very recent project. But no bullshit, I feel like he was working on that album for some time, and I feel like that was the album he really wanted to drop, but only dropped CLB because of the whole Kanye shit. I feel like that was the album he really wanted to
do. Bro, there's no way in hell he was working on this album for a long time. Do you see the cover art itself? The cover art was thrown together, bro.
I know, but that's always Drake with his projects. The CLB is just 9 emojis. I could have typed that for you.
No, that's what I'm saying, though. It's getting progressively worse. Like, he's putting less and less effort into his music, into the quality of all his shit. Mm-hmm. And it's showing. It's showing in the cover art, in the fucking content itself, and I'm just like, what is this man on? But I don't know. I think I'm speaking differently then. You don't feel the same way I'm getting.
No, I do get what you're talking about. I just appreciate and respect the fact that Drake is able to go an alternate route and not do like a full hip hop or a full R&B album and kind of just dip into other pockets and still, you know, make music like that and his fans eat it up. I get it's like a house music, but this doesn't sound anything different as if he was to do any of his R&B tracks and he just like put a house beat over it. Like I heard songs like Texco Green could have easily been a song off Scorpion. Easily. Probably. on side B. If it just had a different beat. So I don't know, when I just stopped back and just really picked things apart, I started to hear Drake and everything. And yeah, the house music doesn't sound top tier, but it does really sound like Drake, like something Drake would actually be on. So I don't know. Certain vibes I was able to make with it.
I guess for me, just to wrap this all up, it's just like I'd rather Drake give me a fire hip hop / R&B album rather than a okay house music album where he's just dabbling in this and then never going to go back to it. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel.
What I will say also to wrap this up, I understand what he did because he decided, yo, fuck the U.S. market. Fuck that.
He's that big, though.
No, I know. He's saying, fuck the U.S. market. I'm going global. Do you know how EDM is played throughout all these clubs throughout the world, bro? Yes. EDM, you might think hip-hop is up there, but like no. EDM across the world, bro. These big ass clubs that they go to where they got like legendary DJs performing all the night, like Ibiza, like Spain, Europe, all them shits. Yeah, Drake was very smart for putting this album out before the summer. Because him being the biggest artist in the world, if they're playing nothing but EDM at those clubs, he's going to get played over there.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so like I completely get why he would make a move like this because his fans are going to like it. And it's going to do very well overseas. So if he was going to do, for example, an international tour some point in the future, I think he could tour off this album. He doesn't even have to sing that much. He just has to let the DJs play the music.
No, I definitely agree with you. And I think for the casual Drake fans that are going to just eat up anything he puts out, yeah, they're going to love it. And I think there's a lot more of those out there than we realize. But fans like myself, I actually diagnosed this nigga's music. I listened to him. I know where you came from, where you've been, and where you at right now, and I don't like what I've seen. So it's just like, as a fan, I want better. But right. I definitely agree with you. This man could definitely tour off this just because of the genre of music he's in. Like you said, dance is fucking worldwide. Mm-hmm. I got a coworker that goes to raves all over North America, bro. Goes to fucking Puerto Rico, go to New York one time. It's just like, yo, how the fuck are you doing this? So I definitely get it. I definitely get it. My man is he's smart for putting this out, but I'm selfish. I wish it was better.
Facts. And it's already an EDM project, but some DJ out there is going to find a way to remix the shit out of one of these records, and it's just going to blow.
Oh, some DJ is going
to find a way to remix one of these shits, and it's just going to blow, and you're going to hear that shit everywhere.
And I can't wait for that.
Yeah, facts. But it'll be dope.
I'm going to be like, Drake, this is who you should have gotten originally. But besides that, I've been listening to... Burna Boy, love Damini.
Fire album.
Yeah, though. I've been listening to
going to him on Friday.
Is he performing out here?
At Seaport, yeah. This Friday.
Where in Seaport?
The Pavilion. It's lit.
I'm about to buy tickets. That's fucking crazy. Nah, I've been listening to that. I've been listening to the French Montana album, Montega. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to Blanco 5. Obviously, you know, Future. Sorry. Yeah, no, I'm not. I can say I haven't gone back to Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. I just wanted to let you know that. A lot of Larry June, his new project, Two Peas in a Pod, Chris Brown album.
What do you think about that one?
I saw a lot of backlash for it, and I didn't understand it. For me, Chris Brown has been making like the same consistent music for the last like 6-7 years.
Do you have a problem the fact that it is the same?
No, because my thing is
that's the argument a lot of people.
No, I understand it. I understand it, but it's like it's not bad. It's just like I feel like Chris Brown has made so much music and he's made so many different projects. A lot of them having 20 plus tracks on them to the point where it's like he's tried everything. He's featured on everything. He's done every type of a beat. He's done every type of flow. I don't think there's much else he can do. And for him to try something new on an entire new project the whole time, I don't think would be a smart thing for him to do. So for him to fall back on what he's good at, I'm not mad at him for. I understand the backlash, like you said, no real growth in Chris Brown, but he's in his own lane. Like he's no one's touching him. He's been around since what, 06, 07? I can't hate on what he's doing. It's gonna bring him results. It wasn't a bad album. It's just people are tired of hearing the same sound. And I don't listen to Chris Brown enough to the point where I'm going to get tired of it. So to me, this is just, brand new Chris Brown music. I love it. Brand new Chris Brown music. Let's go. We lit. That's how I took it. So I didn't have an issue with it, but I do understand why people did. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I fucked with it. Yeah. I'm a Chris Brown fan.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I like the fact that it felt like a two-sided album where the first side was all features, mm-hmm. and then the second half was just solely him, and I fucked with that second half a lot. Like, a lot of the solo joints, Crispy killing it. But out of the features, I love the one with Bryson Tiller.
Nah.
Out of the features, that might be my favorite, that track.
The one with Wizkid.
Oh, that one's fine.
Call Me Every Day, bro. That shit, I had that on repeat nonstop. But yeah. That's the one with nice Bryson vibe. Was going hard too, bro.
I fuck with that shit. Even the one with Fabio, I thought was fire. Yeah. And y'all know how I feel about it. I was sick I missed Fabio at Rolling Loud, bro. Fuck you to the shuttle driver that made me miss that set. But going on after that, yeah. What I've been listening to, I have been playing that Kendrick album. That's been on a heavy replay. And yeah, every song just continues to grow on that tape. I've been playing Future's album a lot more though. Yo, that Future tape
goes crazy.
It does go crazy. It
goes crazy.
And it's like to the point where I feel like after Puffin' on Zooties, even though Puffin' on Zooties is a dope song too, after that song, everything down, no skips. No skips after that.
To be honest, I don't think there's any skips on the album now. Like, now that I've listened to it for this long,
yeah.
Like, I can't think of one skip.
The skip for me on this album is definitely I'm That Nigga and I'm That Nigga and We Just Want to Get High. Yeah, everything else, fire. I can't remember how Gold Stacks sound.
Nah, Gold Stats goes crazy. I will say that Chickens, I remember you saying that was your... That shit's growing on me, bro.
I texted you?
I put that shit on right after, bro. I was like, let me get it.
Yo, I told my dog Darnella Shorty got me for $6.50, bro. Like, hey, yo. I was like, thank God Chickens wasn't playing at the time, bro. She might have got another floor. But I was like, yo, down in Florida, let me look up. Because I was like, After that, I was like, "Yo, y'all are making how? Y'all are making bread. Y'all got what off me?" I was like, "Y'all are making bread." So I started to think. I was like, "Hey, yo, what is minimum wage in Florida?" And let me just compare it to what these shorties are making. Minimum wage in Florida is
$8.95,
$10 an hour.
Oh, that was close.
For tipped employees, it's $6.98. Massachusetts is what, 14 now?
Fourteen something.
So just to show you the difference, their way of living versus our way of living, I was down there, you know, spending how I normally spend. And I'm like, I felt like it wasn't that crazy compared to like what you spend up here in terms of just like travel and food and all that shit. But then when I started to get into like what people were making for like livings, I completely understand why these shorties are doing what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
If the bread is like that down there and you have the potential to make that. With that being your minimum wage?
With the cost of living, yeah. Yeah, you living good. Money long.
I understood completely. What? Like, shorty was in the same graduating class. I was like, yo, I get it. Like, I get it. It was crazy.
Make your money, get out.
Yeah, I completely understand. But I was just like, damn, I respect the hustle. But yeah, I was like, damn, thank God chickens didn't play back there. But shout out to everybody out there. Still had an amazing
You know
time.
What... You know what really surprised me? The CMG tape.
Why did it surprise you? I feel like there's a lot of artists you fuck with on there. I feel like you fuck with
No, I fuck with all of them. You're 100% right. But it's just, it surprised me to the fact that Yo Gotti was able to create such a roster in such a short amount of time.
You think that was short? I feel like you've been stacking that roster for like a few years.
I mean, all right, so Moneybagg's been on it for like 4 years now.
A few years.
Four years.
Moneybagg and Black Youngster, I feel like, are.
Black Youngster's the longest running dude, but he's never really been high up there for me. But like recently with the EST, with the Mozzie, he got Moneybagg on his shit, Lil Papa.
4-2
fucking 4-2 Doug. Gorilla. Bruh,
that fucking
she's hard. She goes hard.
That like, FNM song is pretty, yeah, it's catching on everywhere.
Like, yo, she goes hard. And I'm just like, yo, I don't know where he's finding these people, but everything he finds is gold. And this entire tape was fire, too. I got this shit on repeat. Joey Badass's fucking tape last week let me tell you the song right here. Let me tell you the song. Bro, Where I Belong.
I was so happy for Joey, no bullshit. He been gone for so long, bro.
5 years.
Yeah.
5 years. All American was his last shit.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't really like that album that much.
It was okay. It was all right.
But after listening to this, I was like, nah, this might be one of his best projects.
Oh, 100%.
Today. I was like, from the production to the content with the lyrics, yo.
To the
like,
skits at the end of songs. Like, it was a
great job.
Yeah, I fuck with that album heavy. Yeah. But what you been on? Besides
those that I listed, like you said, the Joey album that came out when I was in Miami, but when I had the time to listen to it, I checked it out. There were definitely some tracks on there that I fucked with heavy. After that, I've been listening to the new EP that Uzi just put out.
He dropped an EP. I thought he dropped a single.
She dropped, I think, 4 singles and then an EP that had like 5 more songs. So, like, a total of 9 songs.
I only saw Space Cadet. I didn't even see he dropped a whole tape.
Facts.
But or EP.
There's this one song on the EP called FF, which stands for Final Fantasy.
That's why you were talking about this song. I was like, where is this dude talk? Like, where is he seeing that?
But that shit, dog. That shit is fire, bro. Like,
okay.
That might be one of my songs for the summer, and it literally just came out. I heard that when I was in Miami, and I was like, yo, this explains everything that I'm witnessing right now, and it's just dope.
Oh, Red and White. Oh.
Yeah, Red and White is the name of the EP, and he dropped like 4 other singles before that, but they were on his SoundCloud. It's all together under one tape that has like 9 songs on it, but it's dope. Last might be my other song of the summer right now by Burna Boy. That's also my shit.
Nigga.
Facts. That's really my shit. And after that, to wrap up this portion, I've also been listening.
Nah, Last is that shit.
That's my shit. I don't think I've been listening to much. I got other shit on my phone, but nothing's really been on replay. I think just Kendrick, Future. I have been replaying that Drake album too. And a little bit of Chris Brown. I'm getting through the CMG album, too.
I will say I've been listening to a lot of Vaughn lately.
King Vaughn, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know why. He's been... I don't know why. He's just resonated a lot with me lately. It's weird.
That song that he had with 21 took a while to grow on me.
It's a lot of his old shit, like Le'Veon James, Welcome to Old Block, shit like that. Like it's a lot of his old shit that he dropped like 2 years before he died. That's just really started to grow on me, and I was just like, damn, this man really had heat. Like if he actually was given time to perfect and hone this shit,
yeah.
Like Dirk got time, bruh.
Yeah, it's sad.
Now, granted, if he stayed out of jail, but
yeah. No, it really is sad. They were playing a lot of Vaughn down there. For him too. They were playing a lot of Vaughn and Juice WRLD down there.
Juice WRLD.
So like, I don't know. That was very dope for me to witness. So yeah, that's all the music I've been listening to.
One dude I hope that we can get two dudes I hope we can end up getting music from eventually. Or again, Young Thug and Gunna, bro. Like, for those of you that may not know, Young Thug and Gunna are a part of a street gang called YSL.
Which is also the name of their label.
Yeah. What is it? Young Stoner Life. Soldier Life? Yeah.
Stoner.
All right. Mm-hmm. And they were arrested, I think, a month and a half ago on some RICO charges. 27 members of the YSL group arrested and all held without bond. And essentially, it's looking real bad for them, where to the point where the DA's trying to put them all away for 10-plus years each, you know what I mean? And Thug and Gunna for a while. And it's kind of unfortunate because apparently they've been building this case for the last 5 years and whatnot. And they got shit from 2013 when Thug was renting out cars, doing this and that. They got shit on Gunna before I even knew who Gunna was. And I'm just like, this shit ain't looking too good. And it's just unfortunate because I feel like Young Thug was finally getting to that level where he was like he discovered Lil Baby Gunna. He was creating his label, putting other people on. And I thought he was really just turning that curve, you know what I mean? And then this happens.
Yeah.
And then Gunna was just dropped an album, was in his bag, primed for a great summer. And I haven't heard shit since. And it's just unfortunate. So I just wanted to bring this up since this is something that happened while we were gone. We never got to speak about it.
We did. We spoke about it right before we went on break.
Did we?
Yeah, the last episode we spoke about it right before we went on
break. Okay, all right.
It's been that long. You feel me? This shit's still going on. I was hoping maybe lawyers and the labels would have got all this shit figured out, because I wouldn't think that the label would want their top-selling acts to go away. So I was hoping that the shit got figured out, but nah, we still here.
The fact that they have been locked up for this long, and I expected, like, when I heard this, I expected Gunna and Thug to bond out with the swiftness. Like, I was going to see them on the street 2 hours later because they got the money needed. And now I'm scared for them because RICO case, everyone's grouped in together. If one person did something, you're all getting charged for it. 27 niggas.
It was very serious.
Boosie said it best, bro. I was watching a video with Boosie, and he was talking about this. He was like, if you put in 27 eggs in a basket and you shake it up, some of those eggs are going to crack. And that was a beautiful analogy because I was like, there's no way in hell that all 27 of these dudes, not one of them is going to snitch. And just because of that, I'm scared for Thug and Gunna because I don't know the true extent of what the fuck the police know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where this can have them end up. And the fucked up thing about this is that they may be bringing Lil Baby into this and 4PF as well, which may be James Harden. which may be James Harden as well. Just gotta throw that out there, because you know that man's affiliated heavily. So if I see Lil Baby get dragged into this RICO case, because the DA said they're going to indict two more groups within the next 60 days. So that's what people are thinking. It's either Lil Baby and 4PF, but I hope Lil Baby doesn't get brought into this as well, because it seems like everything that's been around Thug is just turning to shit right now. So
what's really sad and crazy is the fact of how much trouble hip-hop is in because of shit like this. Because you think about it. They were stacking up evidence since you said before you even knew who Gunna was. Now, think about the spot that hip hop has taken within the past few years. It's one of the biggest genres in the world now.
I would say In the world, yeah, in the world, yeah.
One of the biggest genres in the world, and we know a lot of the a lot of the top dogs in music have some street cred. We know this. So the fact that YSL got pulled into this RICO and the feds just took all this time to stack up this evidence, this makes me scared for hip hop because I'm seeing a lot of bunch of other cats do that, gain their notoriety to the point where I think they'll just still continue to do the shit that they have been doing, thinking that they can
get away with it.
And then when they reach a certain point of fame, yeah, I think the feds are going to do a sweep. And it's sad because I see shit like that and I think about Dirk. Dirk is the first person.
Dirk is smart because in a lot of his music, he says this shit's fake.
I'm hip.
Or like,
thank
God. Yeah, he says like this shit's
this
fake.
Is all or, cap. Like, this is or, not
yeah,
real.
Exactly. Or like in his videos, he'll put, these are props. Shit like that. So I'm just like,
and y'all gotta stop with that. That these are props. We're not stupid, dog. Y'all gotta stop with that.
Nah, but it's just plausible deniability. You know, legally speaking. Mm-hmm. And I think Dirk is ahead of a lot of these dudes because music technically is freedom of speech, unless you can directly point this lyric to this event. You can't prove anything. And I think that's what they got Thug on a lot of shit. Because I've been watching a lot of interviews lately, and Young Thug in the past, you used to talk about killing niggas, bro. Like in interviews.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to like put evidence on Dirk, but I'm like, nah, Dirk do a lot of the same shit. It's just his approach and his delivery might be like a little different, but all that shit is in his music too. Like, I was having a conversation with a friend and she was comparing YoungBoy and Dirk to me and about how like, oh, YoungBoy is this, that, and that, and then like he's on house arrest for blah blah blah, and I'm like, yeah, like, you know, YoungBoy got caught up on charges and all that and blah blah blah, and he's in jail and is able to build this popularity around his name. Dirk is outside doing all that shit. Allegedly, Dirk is outside. So, like, that's the difference. I feel like YoungBoy, they got him contained. But I feel like with Dirk, he's moving around. And I feel like he thinks he's good. But sooner or later, I think the feds, whatever OTF got going on, are going to get their research and do a sweep, too. I hope it doesn't come to that. But as Dirk gets bigger, my fear increases for that.
Well, I don't think Dirk can get any bigger than what he is right now, personally.
He's been getting bigger and bigger year after year, bro. Like this.
I mean, he's at the top right now. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how much bigger he can get. He's never gonna pass J. Cole. He's never gonna pass Kendrick. He's never gonna pass Drake. He's not gonna pass Lil Baby. So I think he's at where he's gonna be. He's just gonna, his music's gonna get better. But like, regardless, I just think that for one, Thug needs to find YoungBoy's lawyer. Because however YoungBoy's lawyer got him off the shit he was on, he needs to use those same taxes to get Thug out of what he's in right now. Secondly, I think I feel like Dirk has a lot of people doing shit for him. Like, he's insulated from OTF.
He's like a delegator.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Dirk is the money man. You know what I mean? If he goes away, everything crumbles from the bottom or top down. So I don't think
Thug was the same.
Nah, but not really, because Thug got Gunna and Lil Baby under him and to a point. Who does Dirk had King Von. You know what I mean? Who does he have now? Fucking Buka 600, Duty Low?
No, you're talking about, you said that Dirk was like a delegator. Like he never pulled the pistol, but he was the one that was
pointing. I said he was insulated. You said that, I agreed. When I say insulated, I mean to the point where like he doesn't have to get his hands dirty. I don't even think he's dealing with half the shit that's going on in OTF anymore just because of who he is and what he's doing. I mean, I doubt this man's ever in Chicago. And if he ain't in Chicago,
always in Chicago.
I mean, he's always doing shows, though. Like, how much time can you really be spending in Chicago getting your hands dirty if you weren't really always on tour, doing music videos, fucking doing concerts, doing interviews, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just like I think Dirk is more insulated, but there is a lot of shit that could bite him on the ass in the future. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. I just pray that Young Thug gonna get out, and I hope that Lil Baby does not get dragged into this, and by association, James Harden.
Facts. Something that I wanted to address before we wrap up this episode, I wanted to address the roofie problem that's been going on in Boston. Within maybe the past month or so, there's just been reports going out around so many bars that are, reporting that they've had guests who've been roofied. And I feel like it's crazy that that shit's going on out here. I thought about it, and I'm a bartender, and I thought, you know, all my people were clean because we would never bring that shit into the facility or shit like that. But then we got reported as well. And I was just like, damn, I didn't think that shit would touch us. You feel me? So I just want to go out there and say, like, yo, I don't know how y'all party out there. I don't know what y'all do for fun. But this shit is not it. Dog, that shit is dangerous. Like, one of my coworkers said she got roofied one time and she ended up in the hospital. And like, shit like that is scary. I think I've heard some people can die off of roofies and shit like that. And I honestly didn't know that. I thought roofie was just something that just impaired you and maybe just knocked you out for a little bit and you wouldn't know what happened once you woke up. But nah, this shit can really fuck up your system. And the fact that this is an ongoing thing in the city is absolutely crazy to me. Like, what's good with y'all? Y'all don't know how to talk to people anymore. Y'all can't just have simple conversations. Y'all got to go to the lengths of doing all this shit so people can have your attention.
That's the thing that always fucks me up personally, bro. Because it's like, as a man, like, who I am and, like, when I hear shit like this, I'm like, I forgot that was a thing. I forgot, like, that can happen to women because that's not even a thought in my mind. Like, oh, let me do this so I can try to get... Like, bro, get some fucking game. Learn how to talk to girls so you don't do dumb shit like that. But nah, Devin's right, because I've seen that list as well, and it's way too long, first of all. It's
growing still.
It's way too long, first and foremost. So I don't know how women can feel safe going out in Boston, especially if they're with their girlfriends. Like, I'd be weary of all the dudes around me as well. I feel like what bars should do, in my opinion, is like sell or just hand out like those covers, drink covers.
Yeah,
I feel like if y'all could hand those out like to every person that gets a drink, like, or put it on top of their drink to give it to them, I think that'd be a great way to fix it.
Mm-hmm. No, I saw that was a really good idea, and I think all bars should implement something like that.
Or ladies, I hate that y'all gotta do shit to not make this happen, but how about y'all bring your own covers? You know what I mean? Buy a drink cover and put it over your cup. You know what I mean? Watch it while the bartender's making it. As soon as you get it, put it over the cup. So, you know, you gotta trust the bartender to make sure they didn't put anything in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It sucks that they gotta do it. But, yeah, if there is a reusable way of doing that, I would suggest that as well. It kind of sucks because, like, getting your drink, you never know. Like, you really got to examine a drink in order to tell if it's been spiked. But, like, we all know the routine. Don't put your drink down. If your drink was down, get another drink. But honestly, it sucks because it's starting to feel like there isn't any way to prevent that. Like, I never thought our bar was going to get hit with that shit. Because I know all my bartenders, and I know we don't have any shit back here. So it's like, the fact that people are coming in and doing that under our noses and skating is scary, because that lets you know that shit can really happen to just anybody, you feel me? And, yeah, I don't know. That shit got to stop. And I thought about it, and in this world where people are on their phones, social media, online dating, people are just forgetting how to be social and just talking to people. And now we're resorting to this to try to get their way, and it's nasty and disgusting, dog. Stay home if that's the case. Fucking use your hands if you got to do what you got to do. But if you got to go to that extent, yeah, the streets are not for you, dog. The streets are not for you. And I can't even just say this shit only happens to ladies. This shit happens to men as well. It happens to everybody out here. Nobody is safe when it comes to this. So just be aware of your surroundings when you're outside, and you know, make sure you stay safe.
Also, if y'all see someone doing that, call them out.
Facts.
In the moment. Call them out.
Get that drink away from
you. Yeah, call them out. Get the attention of security. And fellas, if you see a guy doing that to a girl, beat his ass.
Yeah, don't just mind your business.
Nah, like, beat his ass for real. Like, and I mean that, like, wholeheartedly and for real. Like, if you see that shit happening at a club, lounge, fuck it. You at a cookout and you see some shit like that happens. Call it out, and as a guy, beat their ass. Because that's not shit that we should let slide, because it affects all of us in the way we all look.
Yeah.
And that's not something I want to deal with.
Yeah.
So, let's take that into account.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and wrap up. What are you looking forward to most out of this season?
I'm looking forward to the laughter that we can bring to the fans, to the pure joy that we can bring, and just to the old vibe that we used to have when it was just us. I want to recapture that, bottle it up, and give it to all of y'all.
Facts. I feel like this episode was kind of us easing back into things, not really going full out like we're used to going, because I want to get the people adjusted and acclimated. And I didn't say this at the top, but since we're at the end of the podcast, I can go ahead and say this. For this season, you're going to see the format change a little bit for the shows. You feel me? We're still going to be out here every Thursday, but the format's going to be different. You might notice episodes are shorter now. You feel me? You're going to notice every other episode, we might have a guest. If we don't have a guest, we're off. It's as simple as that. So every week you should see something from us. If you don't, that means we're taking an off week. It's as simple as that. You feel me? Still reach out to us if you want to get in contact with us. Classic, I don't got to explain it any further. You should know how to contact us. But yeah, I can't wait to have fun with all of y'all. Season 8. Me, Rich, you got Kat in the studio. You'll see some other familiar faces join us as well. So yeah, it's going to be dope. All right, let's go ahead and move on to our reality checks. People miss our reality checks, dog. We used to spit wisdom. Let's bring that shit back. Rich, as always, go ahead, start off the season.
So a lot of y'all may not know, but economy's shitty right now. Not in terms of, you know, there not being jobs or opportunities and things like that. Jobs aren't paying that much. Inflation is going up. People, we are about to hit a recession. And not the recession you're used to, because all recessions are different, but my reality check is basically to prioritize securing your bag, stacking up, making sure you have an emergency fund, and that you are okay should anything negative happen in your life, i.e. lose a job, medical expense, accidents, things like that, because things are going to get hard. That's not an if. That's a fact. I guarantee you that. I work in business. I deal with a lot of business. I have a good understanding of the market itself, and I'm just telling you people, just stack your paper, focus on making sure you're gonna be all right should anything happen, because things are gonna get a little bad out there. So my reality check is just prioritize your wealth, secure your bag, make sure you got an emergency fund should anything go bad, because you wanna be prepared and you don't wanna be one of those people that are left holding the bag and don't know what to do. So that's my reality check for y'all. Stay safe out there.
All right, and then for my reality check to kick things off, I'll just tell people to enjoy the time that you can have to yourself. Before the break, I had a lot of things on my plate. I was doing a lot, and because of that, I believe that 2022 may have been my loneliest year of life, just because I was away from all my loved ones, didn't really contact them as frequently as I should have. We're all busy, right? But during the break, I definitely took the time to reconnect with a lot of people, take some personal time to myself, and go out and remind myself what makes me me. And I would definitely push that to all of y'all as well. Definitely take advantage of your free time when you can, because, yeah, times are tough. We're busy, but we still got to find ways to ground ourselves at the end of it. So go ahead and do what you got to do to keep yourself grounded. All right, that is my reality check. All right, and that is pretty much the end of the episode. I'm excited. Welcome back, season 8. We gonna go crazy.
What kind of glasses are those, bro?
We gonna go crazy, you feel me? And I can't wait to share everything that I want to share with y'all.
What kind of watch is that?
Make sure you're following us on our socials at The Urban Product. We're out on Instagram. You can find us on Twitter. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channels and just share everything because we are going up and never going down. All right, I can't wait. It's been your boy DME.
It's been your boy Cozy Rich.
And you have been listening to The Urban Product. We'll go ahead and catch you next week.
Love.
Deuce.
This nigga's rich.